Good morning. Welcome to Village Baptist Church. We're so happy that you could all join us today, and welcome also to those of us worshiping online. Before we get into our many announcements this morning, let's take a couple moments, stand up, stretch our legs, say hello to our friends and neighbors, and we'll come back together to sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit, and we'll carry on with the morning. Okay, number of announcements today, so stick with me. Today we have our quarterly business meeting after church. It'll be down in the fellowship room, so please be sure to attend that if you're able. We have a deacons meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on Zoom. Worship and Music Commission is going to be meeting on Tuesday at 7 on Zoom. The Village Voice deadline is Wednesday, so if you have a contribution for the Village Voice for next month, please be sure to send it in by then. Our new Instagram handle is @VillageBaptistOfBowie. Please be sure to give that a follow if you are active on social media. They've been doing a real good job keeping that up with some great posts and stories and all kinds of fun stuff. Next Sunday, we are having the Pastor Search Committee Town Hall. I'll be giving an update at the end of announcements, but that is the next step in the process that we've been undergoing as a congregation to really figure out what we're looking for in our next pastor. So if you are able to stick with us after worship next week for the town hall, we would greatly appreciate it. Also, the hunger banks will be collected next Sunday. The Hunger Bank donations this year are going to Baptist World Aid. And just a little factoid for everyone, in 2022, last year, Baptist World Aid served 171,000 people, alleviating poverty and hunger and responding to disasters. Just a very worthy organization. There's more information about them in the Village Voice if you'd like to read more. I believe there are hunger banks in the Narthex again this week available for pickup, so if you can do that, bring them back next week. We are having the Thanksgiving Day service at 11 a.m. on Thanksgiving. A collection of food for the Bowie Food Pantry will also be taken during that service. And after Thanksgiving, if you want to help decorate the church for Christmas, we will be decorating on December 2nd from 1 to 4 p.m., extra hands are always appreciated and welcome if you are available on that day. We are updating the church directory. So if you have moved or if you just want to make sure that your information in the directory is up to date so we can keep in contact with one another, please either check the online version or I believe there are still some physical copies in the Narthex if you just want to flip through on your way home today. Last but not least, it is the second Sunday of the month, which means you get a Pastor Search Committee update. I will be giving that update today on behalf of the committee, which is a very exciting update. We have held 5 successful, open, and engaging small group meetings with the congregation. You know, these were extremely well attended. We are so thankful for the Village family coming together and having these open discussions with us, so that we can really nail down and figure out what we're looking for in our next pastor. It's not always easy to talk about hard subjects, and I think time and time again, this congregation has shown that we have the strong foundational relationships that we need to really delve into those areas. So those small group sessions were very fruitful. We came away with a great idea of what we're looking for in our next pastor. You all did a great job in filling out those congressional, congregational survey results. It's a whole different topic. We have received, reviewed, and analyzed 46 of those surveys. So on top of the kind of more narrative-focused small group meetings, we have all of that survey data that we've been able to pour through and really analyze what we're looking for. We've been working with Tricia Miller Mannerin from the DC Baptist Convention to prepare for our town hall. That's going to be next week after service. During that town hall, we're going to talk about the main takeaways from the small group discussions and the survey results. And we're also going to have a fulsome discussion as a village family about the traits and characteristics that we're looking for in our next pastor. So we had the survey, we had the small groups. Now we're going to come together in one place so that we can really get a clear idea moving forward what we're going to be looking for. After the town hall, our next steps are going to be crafting our ad and our position description for the new pastor to reflect everything that we've learned in the small group meetings, the survey, and the town hall. And then we'll be posting the ad and the position description on several different platforms that have been recommended to us by Jay Keevey from Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, Meredith Stone from Baptist Women in Ministry, and also Tricia Miller Mannerin from the DC Baptist Convention. So we're going to be very covered as soon as we have all of our ducks in a row to really go out there and see what the Lord is going to provide us as our next pastor. And last but not least, of course, we want to acknowledge and thank Pastor Joel for stepping in as our interim pastor as we go through this process and just being there as a very welcome and steady source of support and encouragement along the way. This is the day the Lord has made.
Because I don't have much left. Please stand and join me.
good to be in God's house on God's day, and it's good to see all of you this morning. We're going to share a time of prayer together. It occurred to me that when we wake up in the morning, so many people are happy and they have so much to be thankful for, and other people are going through difficult times and places, and that's why we have this time of prayer, to share the concerns we have for others, the concerns for our world, our country, but also to share our blessings together. So for those of you who are watching, we're going to turn the sound off now, and the sake of privacy, and we'll share some of our concerns. Gracious and loving God, you created the world and called it good, and in Christ Jesus you came to redeem us. And by the power of your Spirit, you claim us and strengthen us and prepare us to live with you in glory. So in sure and certain hope, we pray for your world, that we may live into your coming reign of justice and peace. We pray for the church, wherever it's thriving or wherever it's struggling. May it be faithful to your gospel. We pray for your world, asking that you heal its wounds and that you would make us all better stewards of its wonders and gifts. God, you have heard the blessings expressed, the concerns that have been expressed here this morning. For those who are suffering from anxiety and stress, give them relief. And for those who are enduring long days and nights without food or shelter, Lord, feed and protect them. Use us as your instruments of love. There are many who suffer in silence, Lord. Comfort those who carry secret sorrows. We pray for your healing love to surround them all. Sometimes our lives are so busy, we feel like we have too much to do. And at such times, we pray that you would settle us down and calm our spirits and re-energize our batteries. When we are perplexed and don't know where to turn, Lord, send your guiding spirit. When we suffer some loss in our life and there is a place missing at the table, send your comforting spirit. When we're ill, send your healing spirit. Into those places where war rages, send your reconciling spirit. We give thanks that you listen to our prayers and respond to our prayers. You know our needs before we even ask. And your scripture intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. With faith in your love and in your grace, we pray today in the name and the Spirit of our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
the children's story. Good morning, good morning. Hey, I'm losing one already. I haven't even started. Okay. Oh, he's bringing another friend. I love it. I love it. How are you? How's everybody? So yesterday was the 11th day of the 11th month. Does anybody know what that was all about? Okay. Go. The 11th day of the 11th month.
Veterans Day.
Yes, Avery got it. He got it. Veterans Day. You know about Veterans Day? We're going to talk a bit about Veterans Day. I'm going to let them run the children's story because those are my notes on the back here. That, yeah, there's Veterans Day and then there's Memorial Day.
I thought these were colored.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have a color printer at home, but we're going to make use of them. So, yeah, almost 111 years ago, there was a war that started. Almost 111 years ago. World War One. Yep. A lot of countries had gone to war and they were fighting. You're so right. They're right. It's all good, Ryan. I love the energy. That way, there's never too much energy, right? But no, so a lot of countries went to war. And you may have heard, you know, as you're walking through your household about a war that's going on now. And there are people that have said in their life that, you know, that they want to help their country in whatever way they can. And they may join the military. These are the folks that go and actually fight these wars. So 111 years ago, a couple of years after that, when that war, World War I, ended, they thought this would be the war to end all wars, and they wanted to celebrate it on a special day. They called it Armistice Day back for a while. Now we call it Veterans Day, and what we're doing is we're saying thank you to those men and women that said, if they're living or dead, that decided that they were going to go and defend their country. I can't turn down a hand. What did you want to offer? Because a veteran is someone that has served their country in the military. There are many veterans. And one thing I'd like us to do during this children's story is maybe we have some of those people here in this room. Just maybe. Do you think they may not have necessarily gone to war, but they served in the military? Yeah, Avery. Okay, well, let's find out. Let's identify who they are. So if we do have any, but don't stand up yet. If we do have any veterans that are in the room, actually, why don't you go ahead and stand? I'll see how many of them are, because I'd like you to actually come forward. If you've ever served in the military in any way. And if you would come forward, and if you don't mind, if you can, come forward. If you're a veteran, for these men and women that have served, and what we boys and girls are going to do, is tell them thank you. And I don't know which branch of service they come from. And that's one thing we're going to learn about them right now. Okay, and a branch could be the Navy. Okay, you got to pop up in the Navy. Okay, Navy, so we heard Navy. Army as well, Air Force. There's the Marines and the Coast Guard. And actually, there's another one that started in 2020 called Space Force. I don't know if there is anyone here from Space Force. So as you hear your song, if you would step forward, the first one will be the Navy. Would somebody like to give this to our Navy person and tell them thank you? Okay. And the next one is going to be, do we have anyone from the Air Force? Would you like to give this and tell him thank you to the person that served in the Air Force? And this is their song. Sorry, that's what it is, your song. You know your song? And this is Mr. Randolph, and you all know Papa Mark Miles. Okay. Let's see. Have you done one yet? Okay, I don't know if we'll have anybody, but we're going to find out in a few minutes. They're next. Anyone from the Marines? Okay, anyone from the Marines? I tell you what, you can stand up in place for somebody for the Marines. Okay, and hold, that's their symbol. Do we have anyone from the Coast Guard? Okay. Okay, do we have anyone from the Army? And tell them thank you. I just want to acknowledge the people that are in the Army. Joel Smith, Bernadette Beckley,
Pam Kowal.
Did I miss anyone? Okay. All right. And so, boys and girls, what we want to do is tell them what they have up there. Thank you for your service. Can we do that? Thank you for your service. Thank you. If you don't mind, just for a very quick prayer, and then we're running over on children's story. Let us pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for the men and women that are willing to serve in this capacity to help keep our country free and to protect our values. We just ask that you bless their families for supporting them. We bless the families that may have lost loved ones in this capacity of service. I thank you again, and we really appreciate the veterans in our midst. Amen. Thank you very much.
Okay. Ooh, I worship you, Lord.
you, Jesus. Ooh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Because of who you are, I give you the glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. I give you the glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. You see, Jehovah, my provider, Jehovah Nisi. Yes, you are, and I worship you because of who you are. I give you the glory, and because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. You see, Jehovah, my provider, Jehovah Nisi, Lord, you reign in victory. You're my
Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Let's pray together. Oh God, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for love of you. Amen. Years ago, I was going through the day's mail in my office, and I received a tract that listed 10 actions that I should take, or anyone should take, should the world end and the rapture take place, you know, when the living and dead believers ascend into heaven to meet Jesus at the second coming. Well, I don't mean to be irreverent, but the number one response there made me laugh. It said, "Stay calm and don't panic." I think that would be hard to do. Today's reading from Matthew 25 is a parable. And most commentators agree that the lectionary readings for the month that precede Advent seem to be jumping the gun a little bit because they deal in large part with the second coming of Christ, just as we're about to prepare to celebrate the first advent of Christ's entry into the world just a couple weeks from now. So I confess I find this passage difficult to understand. Are any of you with me on that? It's confusing to me sometimes. It's a little bit archaic in that it is hard to relate to the marriage customs of that day. So if you find it a little hard to comprehend, I'm with you. And I must say, too, that when I read this parable early in the week, the first thing that came to my mind was that old chorus we used to sing in Vacation Bible School, you know, "Give me oil for my lamp." You remember that? "Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna." I shouldn't sing. But I suspect that none of us have sung that song for a long time. And I would guess that not many of us think about the second coming of Christ very often either. Well, you know, in the early church, they thought about it a lot. In the early church, there was an expectation that Jesus would return sooner rather than later. They believed it could be at any time. It could be at any moment. But now it had been 40 years since Jesus' ministry on earth, and people were beginning to consider the possibility that Christ's return may take longer than they had initially thought, maybe a lot longer. And so the sense of urgency about his return even then was beginning to wane. Indeed, that sense of urgency was turning to disappointment and, for some, disillusionment. And now, here we are, 2,000 plus years later, Christ has still not returned, and my sense is that we give matters about the second coming short shrift. I mean, do we even think about it anymore? Do we even think it could happen? Do we even entertain the possibility anymore? Or do we just dismiss it completely? What do you suppose our attitude should be when we hear a story like this? Jesus talks about 10 maidens who are very focused on the future because a bridegroom is coming. They are called to keep their lamps burning until the bridegroom comes to claim his bride. And then it's going to be time to party. And in that day, weddings were the be-all and end-all when it came to celebration. The party went on for days. Now, some of these maidens, it's said, were wise, and some were foolish. The wise maidens brought more oil than they needed in order to wait for the bridegroom. Bridegroom usually came at night. So they were wise because they brought extra oil just in case the bridegroom was delayed. And very often the bridegroom was delayed. The foolish maidens did not bring enough. All 10 of them fell asleep. Only 5 brought enough oil to last. The 5 who didn't bring enough oil to last asked for some oil from the wise maidens. They said, no. Well, that's troubling. They said, why don't you go out and find some yourself? And so they did, and then they missed the bridegroom coming. They were shut out. The door was closed to them. That, too, is troubling. But I think the important words here are waiting and watching and being ready and being prepared. 2,000 years later, though, what does that even look like? At a yearly preaching conference that I used to attend, I had the privilege of meeting a man by the name of David Lose. He's a wonderful preacher and a very insightful Bible teacher. And regarding this passage, he says that the kind of waiting that Matthew is encouraging here is really hard. Waiting for something that's way overdue, waiting for something we are not sure will even come, waiting that involves preparing even when we're not sure what we're preparing for, can be very challenging. And if there's one thing we know something about, I suppose it's waiting. Whether it's waiting for Christmas or waiting for a phone call from that certain someone, or for a diagnosis from the doctor, or waiting for the grief and pain of some loss in our lives to subside, waiting to see whether the job we applied for is going to come to fruition, waiting for a child to be born, waiting to buy that house of our dreams, waiting at the airport. We all know about waiting at the doctor's office. We all know about waiting, something we all experience, and it can be hard. And I wonder what you're waiting for right now as individuals. Probably something. And what are we waiting now for as a community of faith? Well, we're waiting for the coming of the holidays. We're waiting for the search committee to do their work and for a new pastor to come. We're waiting a new vision, perhaps, that will propel us into the future. But waiting can be hard. And I think it's important to note that Jesus knows what waiting is like. Again, to quote David Lose, he said that Jesus tells us this parable in his own in-between time, his own time of waiting. Just remember that this parable is set between Jesus' triumphal entry on Palm Sunday into Jerusalem and his trial and crucifixion. He knew what waiting was all about. But here he is teaching the crowds, facing off with his opponents, instructing his disciples, even as he waits for the coming cross. So he knows how difficult waiting can be. And I think we can say he is with us and for us in our time of waiting. But again, how best to wait, how best to prepare? I want to suggest to you that the best way to wait for us, the best way to prepare, is to be about the business of Jesus, to make the most of our opportunities to serve. Now, there are those, sometimes it's us, who get preoccupied with the end times. We read those novels about the end, you know, the Left Behind series, and listening to those who would predict the day and hour when the world's going to end. They're never right, thankfully. We look for signs and so forth. Sometimes we just give lip service to waiting and preparing. And in the meantime, there are a lot of other things that capture our attention. We get so involved at work, raising our children, paying off the mortgage, we can't give much thought to the second coming of Christ. But here's the thing. When we do that, we may be missing opportunities to do God's will here and now. You see, while we wait, we could be offering our gifts to a hurting world. We could be caring for this good earth. We could be reaching out in compassion to a world that is hungry, physically and spiritually. And by the way, we're talking about commercials. I encourage us to give generously and compassionately next week for that world hunger offering. It's very important. We may not know when Christ will come, but in the meantime, we can be about the business of Christ. We can share what we have. We can share generosity and love through ministries of care. In another commercial, we're going to work together to provide Christmas gifts and a Christmas party to the children at Overland Gardens Apartments down in Landover. I hope a lot of you can be a part of that. But we can also encourage and support one another in our waiting. As one commentator put it, we are those who wait with and for each other. We celebrate each other's achievements. We console each other after disappointment. We give hope when hope is hard to find. We give comfort where it's needed. We give courage when we're afraid. Church is a place we can go when we can help each other wait and prepare and keep the faith. We allow our actions to be the actions of Christ. We have heard it said that Christ has not come for 2,000 years. I beg to differ. He left us his Spirit, the Comforter, to come alongside us. He comes back all the time. And when we do something to help those in need, and when we turn our dreams of justice into reality, and when we give witness to the presence of Christ, that's what's important. Every time we bear the burdens of others, every time we reach out to the poor or to the lonely or to make the world a better place, then Christ by his Spirit does come, and we give witness to his presence. You know, it's not like when we wait, we don't have anything to do. I read of a medical researcher who has been patiently waiting for a drug that will knock out a particular kind of a rare but deadly disease. And her waiting consists of 5 days a week, 9 hours a day in the lab, poring over research data, trying this, trying that, having conversations and sharing results with dozens of her colleagues. She is waiting for that discovery that solves the problem. But she is not doing nothing while she waits. And that's the kind of active waiting we can be about. The time between Christ's first and second coming is a time for mission, for ministry, for witness, for sharing good news. We live as if God were going to show up at any time, day or night, any place, here or there. We are to wait, to watch, to prepare, expecting God's good presence. We're to do what we can. Let our light shine a little more brightly to tell and to show that Christ has come and that he is coming again, and to let the world know that God is not done with us yet. Look out. Christ has come. Christ is coming again. Amen. Will you bow with me? Lord, keep us alert to your comings. We confess that very often we get so caught up in simply living our lives that we don't give much thought to your comings and goings. So help us to wait and to watch and to prepare and to live, not knowing when, not knowing what circumstances or to whom you might reveal yourself, and strengthen us as we wait to make a difference in the world and as best we can to make the world a little different. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Please stand and sing with me, Be Still My Soul. It's number 57, or it's up on the screen.
Thank you.
may be someone among us who would like to unite with this church, I want to remind you of three ways that we receive new followers of Christ: believers' baptism by immersion, transfer of church membership, or statement of Christian experience. If any of those decisions is on your heart today, I invite you to see me right after worship out in the foyer. Will you receive now a benediction? Now may the grace and peace of Jesus Christ our Lord go with you on your journey, wherever he may take you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you in the storm. And one day may he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.